This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
And this is Doug Pollard bringing you this first anniversary edition of Freshly Dug, 1 year on air today. Now, as always, when we want to know what's really going on in the world of politics, there's only one man we can really talk to, and that's my next guest from the Australian Coalition for Equality and numerous other places from time to time, Corey Earlham. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning, Doug. How are you? Happy birthday, Freshly Doug.
Thank you very much, and happy birthday to me too, while you're about it. Let's get them all in.
Happy birthday to you, Doug. Oh, it's very nice to have an anniversary with an anniversary.
Isn't it great? Isn't it great? Especially that I'm still here in both senses, both on the radio and in the flesh.
Well, that's what you get your new intro to be.
Well, you know, it's appropriate, really, because it's actually tomorrow when I turn 60, which means I'm officially an older Australian, and the government is actually apparently doing something for older GLBTI people.
They are. Finally, after many years of many people talking to them, they've recognised that there are some specific needs for older GLBTI people, and they've funded an education program to educate people who work in aged care about what some of those issues are and how to address them.
So is this just another of these kind of one-off pilot program, once done and then forgotten kind of things, or is it ongoing funding?
No, look, it is one of those one-off things to develop and create and review that program. But what's different here is that the aged care industry has a very pre-existing way of going about educating their staff members, and this program has the ability, if successful, at the end of its 12 different workshops, to be able to feed into that process and be there ongoing for longevity.
What are the criteria for success? You said if it's successful. How is that going to be judged?
Not my program, I'm not sure. I think that's just part of any project that you should just make sure that the training delivered what it wants. You know, did people find it interesting? Was it helpful? Those sorts of things.
Is it effective? Indeed, because I agree. It's a good step, and we do seem to be very good on taking baby steps like these. But there always seems to be a problem with follow through.
Look, I think the problem with follow through sometimes is that people don't keep pushing. They get a little bit and they think that's enough. It's been very clearly articulated to the government that this is an outstanding first step, but it's not the end of the road. It's barely a drop in the bucket, not necessarily in monetary terms. It's quite a substantial amount of money, but that there are other issues that need to be looked at. And we're very pleased to see that things like the Productivity Commission's review into aged care industry across the board actually mentions gay people there under the other special needs types of people to consider.
Yeah, because that's always the gap, isn't it? Whatever kind of special needs things come up, we always seem to be in a situation where we have to say, and GLBTI, put us in there too.
And look, in all situations, we're not necessarily need to be put in there, but I think in aged care, particularly with the historical discrimination that people at the age of 55 have faced through most of their life, it is justified to mount a case to say that LGBTI people do need to be considered special needs. They need to have services that are available to them across the board that target them, not necessarily a geographical location like most aged care packages, but a statewide aged care package.
Yeah, and they've also got to be ready for stroppy old buggers like me who might be ending up in aged care.
Well, that's one of the biggest concerns we've raised with them. baby boomers that are now reaching that age have lived, by and large, out loud and proud compared to what I like to call the silent generation that came before them, where being in the closet was, you know, a form of survival. And so, as you've had on your show a number of times by people who are much more experienced in this area than I, this is an issue that the government hasn't quite wrapped its head around, and it needs to show leadership in order for the industry to wrap its head around. And now they're starting to do that.
Now, this all came about on the back of the of a paper co-authored by ACE and Dr. Joe Harrison, didn't it?
I wouldn't say that it came off the back. I think it was just good timing. we've been talking about aged care issues for over 12 months now, both in the media, behind closed doors and in various ministerial level conversations. And it was clear that there just wasn't a collated piece of information that could articulate what the issues were, what some of the quick wins could be that the government could look at now that didn't require, you know, lengthy long lead times.
Mm-hmm.
And so we asked Dr. Harrison, Diversity Futures, to come on board and help us write that, and then presented it back to MPs, the department, the minister's office, and we were lucky that they A, listened, and very appreciative that they listened, but also that then fed into other things that they were talking with other people about, which resulted in some funding.
Yeah. There were some other issues in that paper, including advocates for GLBTI people accessing aged care and so on. Any indication of the government moving on any of those other issues?
Look, I think that the government has done what is a very good first step because it has a longer lead time than most other things there. I would like to see the government engage in consultation more broadly about determining what's the best way forward. As we know, there's only something like 7% max of Australians that actually access an aged care home in their life, so mm-hmm. a residential aged care facility. And so most older people are accessing services in their home. Now, this training doesn't necessarily assist in that process straight away. So mm-hmm. what can we do to do two things? One, identify older GLBTI services that are GLBTI friendly. And two, what can we do to provide education and awareness and training to those service providers that deliver at-home care?
Yeah. Yeah, home care is obviously one of those fraught issues because we've heard about people having to kind of degay their homes before they would let carers in and so on and so forth because they were afraid of being outed. We need to get away from that.
Mm.
I'm not taking down my Titan Men posters.
No, and I don't think you should have to, and I think that it's also appropriate that those staff members, particularly those who come from the aged care accreditation team that assess what sort of services you need to receive, should be prepared for dealing with a Titan poster and other issues they may come across, and being educated and trained on how best to deal with that. You know, they don't want to sit there and go, gee, he's got some nice buns on him, doesn't he? That might upset you. You might be the heterosexual flatmate and the homosexual that owns Titan Men. And so it's often these assumptions that people can make that can be just as dangerous as people who are just wanting to be friendly but can go too far for somebody who perhaps is in the closet and don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it all comes down to respect at the end of the day. Whether you're gay, straight, whatever you are, you want to be treated with respect.
That's right. And it's also about treating the individual client or customer as an individual. Don't lump them in and assume all these things about them because they're wearing a yellow polka dot jacket.
I don't own a yellow polka dot jacket, never have, but I think it would look very good on you.
Thank you.
Now, talking about polka dots brings us neatly to female leaders and female prime ministers. I see ours was airing some polka dots the other day. What do you think of her statement that not only is it Labour Party policy not to support gay marriage, but she personally doesn't either?
Oh, look, Doug, I think that our community is going to look for anything to grapple onto, and we've got a secular, non-religious identifying leader that we've been under for so many years now under Howard and then under Rudd. And I think we just need to take a step back and we need to not hang all of our hopes onto one person and every word that they say. And we need to look at this in the political climate and we need to look at it in the political landscape of what happened. She's less than a week old into the job. She's asked a question about the government's policy. She's the leader of the party. Wouldn't it be fair to say that if she had a different personal policy and publicly stated that, that it would be seen as a new direction for party policy?
Well, I think what's got people's backs up is that in a number of policy areas that she has spoken on, she's been at pains to, if not exactly distance herself from the previous Prime Minister's position, at least to express it in slightly softer terms, to leave the door a little bit open for change, where she's talked about population policy, where she's talked about the mining tax, various other things. Here she's gone in completely the opposite direction. She's not only reaffirmed what was the previous policy, but added her own personal stamp on top of it.
Doug, that's a complete mischaracterisation. She didn't add her stamp on it. She was asked her personal opinion on it. And you need to look at the nuances in politics to understand what they mean. I actually think that her statement talking about we and an agreement of the party all focuses back to party policy. And as leader of the party, she actually has to toe the line, so to speak. You know, we heard Lindsay Tanner a couple of weeks ago saying that, you know, as a senior minister in government, I don't have the luxury of having a personal opinion or being able to state that personal opinion. I actually think you'll find that under Prime Minister Gillard at the right time, and now it is not the right time before an election when there hasn't been discussions within the party that were often shut down by the former Prime Minister, that there will be more room for engagement than there has been previously. My question, though, is why isn't the community focusing on other issues that is perhaps less politically controversial, that does provide her with the ability to go out there and talk about? Why aren't we talking about things like certificate of no impediments? Why aren't we talking about things like recognising overseas
marriage? Well, I think the Coalition for Marriage Equality, or whatever they call it, Australian Marriage Equality, beg your pardon, are actually talking about those things as well.
Fantastic. I haven't seen anybody asked a question on that.
They've sent her a letter that, as I understand it, says, what is she going to do about gay marriage and certificate of no impediments and those other issues that you mentioned?
Yeah.
They've also written to the Icelandic Prime Minister asking her to give Julia a G up as well, which I think should be...
Look, I think that would be a great photo op seeing two women leaders.
It would. Message just come in here from a listener, which pertains to what we're talking about. It's from Graham. He says, hi, Doug. Wouldn't it be logical to assume that Julia is taking this personal stand on same-sex marriage because she has peed off the religious right already by coming out as an atheist and doesn't want to really sink that gravy train by also saying she supports gay marriage?
Look, I think that's a very valid argument, and I think it's not so much the religious right as it is the right-wing element of her party who anointed her and made her somebody called, say, queen maker of the party. So I think that the concern that she's yet to prove one way or the other is how much will she be beholden to this right-wing faction of the party. I'm heartened to see that she didn't elevate any of those people in the party during this cabinet reshuffle. So that's a good sign that her first comments as Prime Minister around the fact that she's always consulted with people, but at the end of the day, it's her decision. Is something that could prove to be true in later times. But realistically, this is something that the whole party of the ALP, and for that matter, the Australian people influencing their friends and families who are members of the ALP and their politicians, will need to deal with at the national conference. My biggest concern is that somebody who clearly isn't necessarily a lover of traditional marriage, who herself is not married.
Yeah, well, Rodney Croom said earlier on, perhaps it would have been better if she'd just come straight out and said, well, I'm not in favour of marriage, period.
Well, that's a concern, that the more pressure we place for same-sex marriage while not also reminding people like the Prime Minister that we're not wanting a national civil union scheme, we could end up getting something that we didn't ask for.
Mm. I find it rather hard to understand why she would bother making such a firm statement on the issue when it's really in the context of everything else she has to deal with and in the context of all the major policies.
She didn't make a firm statement, Doug. She asked a question and she answered it.
Completely different.
She didn't come out outside a church on Sunday and go, I don't support same-sex marriage. She got asked a question on a show that has a history of asking this question of Prime Ministers and MPs over a long, long period of time. This is one of their catch-cry things for their...
Yes, I know it is. I know it is. But, I mean, she didn't have to... She could have just left it at saying, well, the party's policy is X, maybe we'll look at that sometime in the future, blah 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 blah. You know, she could have softened it down slightly.
Instead of which
she said, it's not only party policy, it's my personal view.
She did not use those words. She got asked a question again of whether she that was also her personal opinion, and she said yes and moved on.
Now, I think she could have handled it better.
How would you have handled it? I actually think she handled it better than the former Prime Minister. You know, this was not a...
Well, he was just totally embarrassed whenever the question came up and didn't know what to say.
It's nice to see Kevy being a bit red every now and again.
Well, I think she held off putting the right-wingers into the cabinet, not because she's not going to, but because she didn't want it to be seen to be doing so before the election. And I rather suspect this is another nod in the direction of the right wing, where we're not going to see any movement. I think she's taken something off the table that she could have left slightly on the table by saying, well, it's party policy, but it's something we will be looking at, or something along those lines.
And then we would have had an election all about marriage that she probably wasn't prepared to have, or to have, or felt that it wasn't politically wise to have.
I don't think it would be that major an issue, do you? When 75% of the people who voted on the Sydney Morning Herald website, which is not noted for its liberal viewpoint, small L liberal viewpoint, I should say, you had 75% of the people responding there saying she got it wrong. I don't think she's got anything to lose.
We're still only at 60% of Australians who supported. That still is a majority. I reckon these days it probably is up somewhere around 63, 65. I think that it's not a matter of whether she could lose or win. It's a matter of what do you want your story to be during the election. This is something that was hotly debated only a year ago with the party that didn't result in same-sex marriage. It didn't necessarily result in everybody saying they're against same-sex marriage, just the party policy was that it's as per the current Marriage Act, which is between a man and a woman.
Mm.
It seems to me that it's that platform and that mechanism that needs to be focused on as the next way to go about doing it. We need to see people who are alumnaries and leaders inside the party and inside Australia coming out and calling on them to change their policy rather than necessarily targeting an individual, a Prime Minister or an MP. But that's something that, you know, there's lots of different views and different strategies of way to go about it. And the beautiful thing about our community over many, many decades now is that all those different views somehow, you know, mesh together. And usually gets in a pretty good outcome.
Yeah, we've got another one here, another message come in. Mark rang to say, why don't we put all our energies into getting rid of marriage for everyone? Why do we gays need to get married anyway? In other words, he's putting forward the proposal basically that, you know, marriage belongs to religions and the government should just have civil unions for everybody.
Sounds like he votes for Tony Abbott. That's very similar to Tony's argument.
Well, as you say, we do have a full spectrum of political views within our community, and we do sometimes manage to pull together for long enough to get something through. Usually a bit piecemeal, but eventually we get there. I'm feeling this is all going a bit Obama-like. You know, we get little baby steps of things, which can easily be gone back on.
But Obama did Employment and Non-Discrimination Act, ENDA, and we're yet to do federal anti-discrimination laws on the grounds of sexual orientation, gender identity, and perhaps more controversially these days, relationship status.
Yeah. Lots of things still to do, and I'm sure you and I will both be in there plugging one way or another.
Yes, well, I'll be back from holidays in about 7 weeks, so thank you for having me on.
And you're welcome. Where are you going?
Email. Oh, Doug, I'm taking the first holiday since 2006, and I'm seeing friends in America for a wedding, travelling around the Baltic Sea in Europe with some friends, and then detoxing with another lot of friends in Thailand.
Well, enjoy yourself. You've earned the rest.
Thanks a lot, Doug.
That was Corey Earlham there from Australian Coalition for Equality. He and I will never quite see eye to eye on how we go about this. He's very much the insider politician person, and we need people like him, just as we need people outside rattling the cage as well.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.